fiduciary obligations. Roy argued that gold would be isolated, excluded from important committee meetings and executive sessions. Before Roy resigned from the board in 1984, he'd been the only dissenting voice, and it had been frustrating and lonely. Far better for Gold and Roy to be free to wage an all-out campaign. In Roy's view, the decision to purge him from the board was a declaration of war. They needed to wage it with every means at their disposal. Still, the group decided that they'd gauge the reaction to Roy's resignation before making a final decision. The official Disney response, coming as it did from Mitchell, speaking on behalf of the board, convinced Gold that there was no point in his remaining. The following day, he resigned, issuing a letter that, in contrast to Roy's, was focused on criticism of his fellow board members. "It is with regret that I resign effective immediately," Gold began, "and second Roy Disney's call for the removal of Michael Eisner as chairman and CEO. I am proud of my more than 15 years of service and my role in reshaping the company in 1984 by bringing Frank Wells and Michael Eisner to the company. I do, however, lament that my effort over the past 3 years to implement needed changes has only succeeded in creating an insular board of directors serving as a bulwark to shield management from criticism and accountability." As for the decision to oust Roy from the board, "The real reason for the committee's action is that Roy has become more pointed and vocal in his criticism of Michael Eisner and this board. This is yet another attempt by this board to squelch dissent by hiding behind the veil of good governance. What a curious result. Roy has devoted a lifetime to Disney as both an employee and director. He has served with renewed vigor during these times of malaise, disappointment, and instability at the company, trying to maintain the morale of employees, focusing on the magic that makes Disney special, and attacking bonuses to the CEO and increased compensation for board members while the company falters and shareholder value erodes. The board seems determined to devote its time and energies to adopting policies that only serve to muzzle and isolate those directors who recognize that their role is to be active participants in shaping the company and planning for executive succession. Further, this board isolates those directors who believe that Michael Eisner, when measured by the dismal results over the last 7 years, is not up to the challenge. Perhaps acting independently from outside the boardroom, not hamstrung by a recently enacted board policy barring board members from communicating with shareholders and the media, I can have greater success in shaping the policies, practices, and operations of Disney than I had as a member of the board." Eisner may have succeeded in barring Roy from any meaningful role at the animation division, but the company's animators were among the first to rally to his cause. Dave Pruiksma, the supervising animator for Beauty and the Beast — he also drew Mrs. Potts and Chip — and Lion King — he drew Pumbaa — and Academy Award nominees Tim Hauser, a writer, and Steve Moore, a director, issued a letter the day after Roy's letter became public. It was not just an endorsement of Roy, but a window into the thinking of a critical contingent.